It's the Carl Thornton Show on WTHB AM.
All right, I was asking a question. Did you hear anything else about blessing in scriptures that I've read other than the healing of the crippled beggar? All right, let me read on. I'm at verse 24. Indeed, all the prophets from Samuel on, as many as have spoken, have foretold these days. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. Aha. Now here's what's so important for us to ask and to determine. Many of us are familiar with the promise God made to Abraham that through Abraham, all peoples, not every individual, but the various groups of peoples on earth, through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. What did God have in mind at this point when he made the promise to Abraham that through Abraham's offspring, all peoples on earth would be blessed? With what? In what way would all peoples on earth be blessed? Was it by making sure that all peoples, not every individual now, we're talking in Christ Jesus, blessings in Christ Jesus. Remember, he said, through your offspring. And he let us know that this offspring was Christ Jesus. Told Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. Blessed in what way? By being made financially wealthy? All who would connect with God through Christ Jesus by believing like righteous Abraham did? All peoples on earth will be blessed by being empowered to become wealthy in this life, by having the most friends that any person could have in this life. Blessed how? In what way? Verse 25 says, and you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. And you know that I've shared with you before that one of the most important things we can do when we're reading scripture and we have a question about something we've just read is see if we can find the answer in some of the verses just before and or just after the verse that's in question. Verse 25 is the verse in question. What did God mean when he said all peoples on earth would be blessed through Abraham's offspring? Well, let's read the very next verse, 26. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you. What servant? The offspring through whom all peoples on earth would be blessed. Who would that be? Well, we'll find out. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you. Uh-huh. Through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed, says the latter part of verse 25. Verse 26 says, when God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you. First to you, to the Israelites first. Not only, but to the Israelites first. And for what purpose? To bless them. How? In what way would he bless them? Does the scripture tell us? Yes. The exact same verse. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. Ladies and gentlemen, did you hear that? When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. the blessing that God had in mind that would come upon all peoples of the earth. Remember, he said in verse 25, and you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. And the people God sent his servant to first were the children of Israel, the Israelites, to bless them. And to bless them how? By turning each of you from your wicked ways. It stands to reason that if God was going to bless the Israelites, the children of Israel, by turning them from their wicked ways, and they were going to receive this blessing first, that the others who would be visited by Christ and or his followers would be blessed in the same way by being turned, each one, from our wicked ways. That is the blessing that God had in mind when he talked about all peoples of the earth being blessed through the offspring of Abraham, people being turned away from our wicked ways. Now, I know that some people may say, well, how can that be a blessing? Remember now, one of the definitions of blessing that comes to man by God is to make happy or to cause to prosper. We can be prosper. We can be caused to prosper in more than one way. We can be caused to prosper financially, no doubt. We can be caused to prosper intellectually. We can be caused to prosper physically with good health. We can be caused to prosper with the wealth, with the riches that salvation brings, that righteousness brings. Yeah, there is such a thing as a robe of righteousness. And that is the greatest robe anyone could wear. And you figure, this is the blessing that God had. Think about it. You have a person who is blessed with much money, great financial wealth. I mean great financial wealth. But he is not saved. He has not yielded his life to the one who gave him life and literally still owns his life, God. Or if you will, Christ Jesus, who also was responsible for the making, the creation of mankind. This person has been blessed with great financial wealth because he was willing to receive the financial blessing that God had for him. But when it comes to eternal life, he's poor. He lives in poverty. Because when it comes to the blessings of the spiritual blessing of righteousness that God also wanted him to have, even more than he wanted him to have the financial wealth, the same person who opened his heart to the financial wealth, close his heart to the spiritual wealth, to the righteousness, to salvation. Now here's the thing. When that man dies, will he still be happy? Now, those of you who follow the Christian line of thinking, as I do, know that once we leave this earth, we don't stop existing. We still exist. The question is, where do we exist? The body is in the ground, whether we have received Jesus as our Lord and Savior or not. The body is in the ground for a time. The spirit, though, where does the spirit go? It has to be somewhere. It doesn't just float around somewhere out there, just floating and floating and floating until finally the judgment comes. No. Every spirit has a stopping place until the judgment comes. And the scriptures teach us that anyone who dies separate from the Lord remains separate from the Lord after they've died, which means their spirit is taken to hell. Only those who die having done their part to develop an intimate connection, an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus, have their spirits taken to heaven when they die. So again, I want to ask you, that person who may have lived for 20, 30, 60 years, very, very happy, because of the financial wealth they had, but they died having clung to their decision to reject Jesus' offer of salvation, righteousness, eternal life. Eternal life being that life where we have the essence, the epitome of joy, peace, living in the presence of God forever. That's eternal life. Rejected that because he was happy just having the financial wealth. Once he dies, will he still be happy? He won't be able to take any of his wealth with him. He won't be able to take the money or anything that the money will have bought. He takes nothing but himself, his soul. That's all it goes. Suppose he'll still be happy? I'm going to tell you, you need to read about hell, what it's about. Get an idea. And we'll look at that a little bit. But in the meantime, let's reverse that and ask the question, the man who had no wealth, no financial wealth in this life, but was poverty stricken, I mean poor, very, very poor. But he made the decision to accept the Lord Jesus as his Savior and as his Lord, as his Master. He died having no financial wealth, but he had great spiritual wealth because he spent years developing his relationship with the Lord Jesus. He may not have been very happy in this life, but after he died, was he happy? We'll take a look at that when we come back.